Welcome to Everybody Loves Reagan, the officially unofficial podcast for the Americans on FX. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And we are doing our season three preview. I don't know about you, but I just got done watching it last night, season two. I'm all caught up, and I think I really enjoyed season two a lot.
Same boat. I'm in the same boat as you, man. I thought a lot of people say that season two is much stronger than season one. I don't know if I agree with that. Well, I mean, I obviously agree with that. I think the season two is a little bit more sharper, a little bit more focused.
I think so.
I can't really say dark because so much of this stuff is dark and fucked
up.
Like the interpersonal the murder's the least of it. The interpersonal relationship stuff that's going on here.
Oh yeah, the way they're twisting up Stan.
Really messed up.
That's pretty crazy. So how, I don't know what your history is with season one. Like, how long ago did you watch season one versus season two?
I can't remember. I don't really remember because I remember being into it for a few episodes when it first came out, and then we had the commissioned podcast where we watched the first two episodes, and it got me really excited to get into it. And essentially in the last 2 months, starting around just before Christmas, I started marathoning, not even marathoning, just trying to get it here and there, season one. I have had to inhale season two because it caught up with me. I've been doing two and three a night.
Yeah, me too.
For however long, you know, since like Sunday.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Going into season three will be nice and fresh in my mind.
Sure.
I saw season one like a year ago. Forget most of that. But season two, I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it. So I'm super excited for season three. There are some things that I wanted to talk about kind of with the characters and where they're at now, where you hope or think they might be going, stuff like that.
Sure.
The usual preview stuff. Let's start off with Stan, because Stan was, as usual, a big part of last season, and his whole plot was kind of turning him to the Russian side of things, trying to get him into a counterintelligence position for them.
Yeah.
What did you think about that plot, and how do you like where they left it?
I don't know. So this might be controversial. My least favorite part of the show is Stan.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's controversial.
I thought Stan was... First of all, the guy to play Stan. Do you know his name?
Fuck.
He...
Dr. Jenner.
Dr. Jenner. Stan is like this kind of nothing of a character to me. He's
okay.
Got a bland affect. I don't find him menacing. I don't find him sexy. Yeah. I don't find him as a very, I know he's kind of shut down and emotionally unavailable. Him falling for Nina, I just think he's an idiot. I'm kind of relieved that he pulled back from the precipice, but
she was a traitor at first. She was a traitor.
You're going to fall in love with a goddamn traitor No.
Okay, I can buy that.
Like, it'd be
that he should have known better. Yeah.
It'd be one thing if he had a Martha situation with her, where him feeding that Stancock just had her on the leash.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
But it was the other way around. Like, I thought in season one, they very clearly communicated at one point a Khaleesi moment where it's no longer Khal Drogo fucking her, it's now her fucking him. And he is just mesmerized by the pussy. And I found that just incredibly hard to believe. And then seducing him into giving him just a little bit of documents and a little bit of documents. Yeah. That's the thing. Like,
I felt like that was credible.
They have him dead to rights already, giving him documents.
Sure, but they want something super big from him. Because he could be counter-spying on them, right? He could be working with Nina still. She could be a traitor. That's a very big fear for them.
It feels like that.
And he's giving them nothing. He's giving them small potatoes. Documents on a particular agent and the goings on of him.
It's still... Okay, so... I think where this is going to go is that somehow Martha is going to get implicated into the document theft.
I think so, yeah.
And did you know that when Sam, or not Sam, when Stan was having this dream, that he observed Martha stealing documents?
That was part of the dream?
Okay. Yeah, and Alan Sepinwall asked him, it's like, you know, it seems like he's subconsciously aware that this is going on, and the creators were giving the coy like, oh, isn't that an interesting kind of response? So I feel like that's definitely going to pay off and complicate
I feel like it's
Phillip's
life. Yeah, one of the more interesting ways for them to go. And that's the only reason I said it. I didn't realize that he had a dream about it.
I mean, Stan just seems like a buffoon after the whole Nina. In fact, everyone that has gotten the vapors for Nina, I don't get. Like Oleg, she is at this point a triple agent. And I get it that she's really hot and she's smart.
That's the thing. There's this like this idea of the fetish of the Russian, the super hot Russian spy, and that lifestyle is so taboo, and it's just interesting. And I feel like they're kind of leaning into that a little bit with the Americans.
I mean, I don't know where
with Stan.
I don't know where they go with her. I mean, I know
they go to Russia, where she's probably killed for being a traitor.
I don't know because she is a. She's a magnetic presence on the screen.
Yeah, and the other spy, the guy, the science and tech guy, he came in and he kind of tried to make a case to Arkady for her. Like, look, she's done everything she can. If this goes south, it's not her fault.
Well, like the...
But he didn't buy that. He was like, this is coming from over my head.
What was the guy that she betrayed in season one and got, implicated him in some kind of spying? He got sent back to the motherland. Vasily? And now he's signed a supervising Anton, the other kind of... the Russian Jew that they kidnapped, it's the mathematician.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So there's clearly a life after America for characters that are shipped overseas. It's just a question of what are they going to do with her that's interesting.
Yeah.
If anything.
I don't know that she even needs to come back, honestly. I felt like, you know, Stan in the end resisted the temptation. He chose country over Nina, and they can leave it there as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I was hoping that Stan would become a double agent and that the focus would shift to Gad, Agent Gad, John Boy.
Yeah, he did momentarily.
And I thought that he's a much more interesting... What's reason is I believe John Boy Walton is a more menacing, competent character than Dr. Jenner.
John Boy? His boss? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
I don't get the reference.
There's a show, a sickening sweet family show called The Waltons that was popular when I was a kid. And he played John Boy, one of the offspring of the Waltons.
Okay. All right. Fine. I mean, you know, I think it'll be interesting whatever they do. They have a knack for telling interesting stories here. And I didn't have the same problem about him kind of falling for the Russian spy.
How do you think the change of the geopolitical scene helps or hurts this show? When this show was launched, Russia was, you know, we're far from Rocky IV. Russia is our friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're mostly known for their hackers and their eccentric billionaires buying NBA teams at this point.
Yep.
And then Putin.
Yeah.
It got amazingly Putin-y up in here.
And I can't tell
Russia's
if it's...
back to being kind of the bad guy.
Yeah. I don't honestly know how much of that is media hype and how much of that is him actually being an asshole. You know, the stuff where they're like, oh, making fun of him because he runs around with his shirt off. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
Right. So, like, I don't know how seriously to take this whole image of Putin as an instigator and this asshole renegade guy. Now, that said, that is certainly the image of him, and I feel like that lends another layer of interest to this whole story.
One thing I thought...
how are the people writing this story in present time going to be influenced by that?
One thing I thought was interesting, because it's always... When I'm watching the show, I find myself rooting for Philip and Elizabeth and worrying for them, and then they murder some young kid at a military camp or some poor computer technician, and you realize...
Some cook in a kitchen.
That not only are these guys brutal killers, but also they work for what we would call the enemy.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting how the show does a very good job of isolating the characters from that natural jingoism, because... When they're talking term like that, Arkady and Oleg and Nina are Russians.
Oh yeah,
they're Russians. There's linen all over their shit. There's hammers and sickles. They're using a hammer and a sickle to type up their report somehow. Philip and Elizabeth and the other illegals. It's the center. And we're doing this for the world.
And they almost never speak Russian.
They never speak Russian. They never mention Russian. They never talk about doing it for... They talk about disliking... But hell, lots of people in the 80s hated Reagan and thought he was a hypocrite and the whole Iran-Contra stuff. And, you know, this touching on a lot of stuff that is not too out there. And it's interesting that the most ideologically pure Russian agents never use that term. And I think that's a way that the show you kind of firewalls... Our patriotism so it doesn't bleed through and we just start throwing, you know, rotten tomatoes and cabbages at the screen.
Sure. Now, it's easy to imagine them as just a wholesome American family, right?
Right. And
because
I wonder,
that's what they pretend to be.
I mean, it's hard to find, I guess, in the English-speaking world. Like, I wonder how this show plays in Eastern Europe differently than it does in,
sure,
like, you know, Western Europe. Because it's hard to find, like, I'm thinking, it's like, well, I wonder what Dee in Australia thinks about it. Or if she has that consideration because she's an Aussie. But the Cold War was all the Anglo-American powers and Western Europe versus, you know, Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union and China. And it's like...
Yeah. And they also like to bring up, you know, the idea that America is kind of great in its own way. You know, they slip that in every once in a while. Oh, Philip has his doubts. Maybe I should become just an American.
Can't
stop
get
this Russian
sweet,
stuff.
Can't get a sweet-ass Camaro
right
in
right?
Russia.
Yeah, everything is so much easier here. And then, you know, Elizabeth will have her turn on that train. And it's like...
Right.
I feel like that's the writers slipping stuff in that true Russian spies would never say, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's
in this era.
I love it because I was a huge fan back in my younger days of Tom Clancy, and this is just all in his wheelhouse. This era, this very oddly respectful way of dealing with the Russians and giving them credit as, you know, dangerous adversaries and intelligence people with the three-dimensional people that aren't mustache-twirling villains.
Yeah. Does
you know, and I think it's terrific that way. But I also think they're doing a very good job of, you know, making it easy as possible to relate and to root for Elizabeth and Philip.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the things I thought was great about season two and why I think it's clearly better, although not like a quantum leap, it's not like season two Justified.
Yeah, yeah.
but one thing I think is great is they actually got a worthy foe. I never... took Stan serious and Larrick.
Okay.
Larrick and Fido, in fact, might have been better. Like, Larrick might have taken Philip and Elizabeth alone. Or, honestly, they would have been dead men and women if it wasn't for, was it Jeremy? What is his name?
I don't know. Russian spy kid. Yeah, yeah, the second generation illegal.
I feel like that they would have been Hamburger. And I loved the fact that he was essentially the good guy in American 80s action hero movie.
Uh-huh.
Think about it. These shadowy guys had screwed him over and they'd killed his brothers.
He's gonna get revenge.
He's tracking them down from the low level to the high level. And then he got to the main bosses and we were robbed of our happy ending.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an Arnold Schwarzenegger flick.
Yep. That, just told from
that's
the
a
other
Stallone
side.
Flick. That is a much better Van Damme flick. I loved everything about his character. I thought he was awesome, and he kicked ass. He was gay, too, right?
The actor or the character?
The character.
Oh, yeah. They found him outside that club under the stairs banging that dude.
It's another one of those things where... But I wasn't sure if that was really
part of the
deep
setup?
Cover or... Yeah, like...
deep cover.
Uh-huh. But I like the fact that there's handled like The Wire.
Shame
like,
you.
You know, you saw... what is the... Rawls. Rawls is just in a gay bar at one point. In the background, and it's like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, open your eyes, it's a larger world.
Sure.
I thought his character's great, and I'm interested to see who's going to be the big bad next year, because he is going to be hard to replace. You can't just find a Navy SEAL captain with badass counterintelligence and counterespionage tactics and brutally efficient hand-to-hand and weapon skills and that you could believe could hack into a phone system and roll a whole terrorist cell from or a spy cell from the ground up.
Uh-huh.
Those are hard to come by. And I don't know whether like Stan and Gad are going to become like the Voltron of the FBI and combine and be the one
please,
big bad or what?
Please put Bruce Willis in the next season. Please. Season three. No, it looks like from judging from the previews, I saw that there will be a fairly famous actor in there. I can't remember his name or anything he's been
about?
At the moment. The older guy who is kind of shown from a behind his head profile shot.
Okay. I don't know who you're talking about.
I can't think of his name. Anyway, so what did you think about the second generation illegal stuff? Because I myself felt like maybe it was unveiled a little too quickly, like all of a sudden out of nowhere.
I thought it was great. I thought that that's exactly how it would work. It was so compartmentalized that the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. Yeah. And it also justified some of the expressions that the kid was making.
Yeah, yeah.
When, like, Elizabeth was telling him good things about his family, they mm-hmm. started this fairly early on, a couple episodes out, where he would make, like, a funny face. It got progressively stronger the more close you got to the reveal, until he finally is like, look, you don't know my parents at all.
Yeah.
And he started spewing out, you know, all of the lies and stuff that, you know, supposedly the center had told him. And the fact that you found out that he killed his whole family, that was really amazing. Fucked up. And that young actor was so good in that death scene.
Yeah.
I thought so too. Making that confession, I just was just jaw on the floor.
I was blown away. Even though I felt like, you know, they rushed it a little bit with the reveal, I thought that was an amazing plot line. It made a lot of sense. And then to turn that around and say, okay, Philip and Elizabeth, now you have this exact choice to make. Go ahead and make it. Season 3, they're going to have to choose what to do with Paige. And it seems like, as usual with this show, Philip and Elizabeth are on opposite sides of it, right? Philip is very much like, no way will our daughter become a spy. And Elizabeth is kind of waffling a little bit. At the end, she's like, well, what if she did become a spy? It would be the worst thing ever.
And everything she's...
It would keep her out of church.
Yeah.
Which is what she's worried about.
Everything she's saying is true.
But everything they're both saying is true. I think it's just a tough decision to make.
Yeah,
and I like seeing them put in that tough position.
And that's the thing. There's really no good option here.
Yeah.
If you are a Russian illegal intelligence agent, and that you have children. Because sure. I thought this season made it very clear that this is a situation that cannot continue. Like, Paige is already calling bullshit on this whole thing. She's not sure exactly what her family's up to, but they're up to something, and she's starting to spy, and, you know, a few more months and years of practice, and she's going to come on something big. And then what do you do?
She's going to go full emo. She's just going to rebel to the point where there's no coming back.
Right. And, I mean, there's a couple places this show could go, like, assuming it runs for more seasons. Like, you know, it'd be interesting if the kids reject your identity. This is an all-in thing. Like, okay, we're Russian agents, honey. What if she says, okay, and then goes to the police? Do you kill your daughter?
Sure. That's a good question.
And are you more committed to the cause or to your children? And I think that with Stan...
That's the crux of it.
Well, I mean, there's some feedback about that, so maybe we'll wait. But I think... I'm not sure. I kind of thought at the end of this episode when they talked to Claudia, played by the great Margot Martindale, that Elizabeth was finally on the same page. That, like, look, the one thing we agree on is our children are, you know, off limits. This is a line in the sand that we have drawn, and that's where the center can't intrude into four walls of our home. We will risk our family. Yes. We will risk ourselves.
But then she flip-flops again. At the very end, doesn't she go to Philip in the dining room and say, you know, what if?
Then that's what I'm saying. Like, she's on the fence. I thought that she was there, and then now she's kind of on the fence, or maybe getting off the fence onto the, you know, Paige as a spy kid direction. I don't know. So this show is willing to go to pretty fucked up areas.
Yeah.
There's a couple things I want to talk about as far as maybe some theories that could be a little out there, but I think that it's not unwarranted with what the show has shown us so far about Paige. I thought when she went to the arrest me rally for nuclear peace, that when the preacher came over to talk to her, that he got maybe not inappropriately, but I think the way the camera moves were and the way that the narrative structure, we as an audience were supposed to think that he was being a little handsy with her.
That's the reading I got, yeah. And that she didn't quite understand that.
Right. No, wasn't offended by it or anything, but I felt like that we were to get the idea that she was being groomed.
Yeah.
And this ties into a little bit of what we saw Philip do later, where he almost came in to kill the guy. Wearing his real face, no less.
Yeah.
That's something that could get Philip in a lot of trouble. Like, if he were to do something like this and he'd become aware of it, I think this preacher's a dead man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally believe that.
Do you got that same impression?
Yeah, I got the impression that he was getting a little grabby. Just like he was testing the waters of that.
Sure. Again, grooming.
With Paige. And then she didn't register that. She just looked at him like, oh, okay.
So, okay, I'm glad you're following me there so far. Because the other linchpin is when other Russian spy kid, who I'm calling Jeremy, because why not?
Wait, other Russian spy kid is Jared. You were right.
It's Jared. Okay, yeah. Jared. Mm-hmm. So Jared was recruited by behind his parents' back,
yeah,
by Kate, mm-hmm, an attractive redhead that was grooming him into being a spy couple.
She was getting stanned.
Yeah. He thought that they were going to be a couple and they were going to change the world and there was some kind of psychosexual thing going on there.
Yep.
I have this crazy 2 o'clock in the morning one night when I was marathoning Theory, okay, that this Christian group is actually a very deep undercover attempt to groom Paige in a similar way to Jared being groomed. And this preacher is going to be the Russian guy and he's going to try to form some kind of psychosexual bond with her and transfer her allegiance to Jesus and all that to Mother Russia. Yeah. Or maybe that will be the cause that thinks she's serving when all the time it's going to be the center.
Supporting evidence throughout the season, they are talking a lot about how they get them young, you know? And now you could view that as them setting up the second generation illegals,
yeah,
or you could view that as even deeper, saying that this guy is part of it.
And I think the center has learned from this deal with Jared that they need to be a little bit more subtle about having a backdoor strategy. Well, actually, they didn't learn from Jared, because what they learned is from Jared's parents' refusal to allow him to be used that way.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, shit, now we got to go behind his parents' back. We need to plan for that in the future.
Yeah.
And I thought it was suspicious back, was it season one, where she's following up about her great aunt that she's never heard of?
Yes.
No,
it was season two. Sorry.
When she was driving the bus back, mm-hmm, and this Christian girl approached her, and I thought at the time, I was like, oh, this is the center. They are co-opting Paige to kind of distract her.
Yeah. And then it turned out to be a religion thing.
And it turned out to be a religion thing. But then when I started seeing the preacher getting handsy and the fact that they are recruiting these spy kids, I'm starting to think this is going to be one of the hooks. I'm convinced that
would be a really good reveal for season three, I think.
I'm convinced that there is something to that.
I wonder if he is the big bad of next season.
Ooh.
Would that be interesting? Have a Russian spy who has assembled a congregation of kids to indoctrinate them into into Russian spyhood?
I don't know if there's a whole congregation. That would be a little much. But, I don't know. I don't know if he's the big bad.
All right.
And I don't buy him as a physical match. I don't know.
I kind of hope you're right on aspects of that, though.
But then, like I said, I didn't take Kate seriously at all.
Yeah.
She was such a lightweight compared to Claudia.
Yeah. Marco Martindale brings a lot to the role.
And Philip and Elizabeth had such obvious disdain for her and her youth and inexperience and all this. Turns out she seemed to be quite competent. She smoked lyrics. Break in out. She got a coded message out. She remained strong under torture. So she was made out of sterner stuff. I kind of thought maybe that they were hinting at that when Philip came in. And of course, he just thinks Philip is some suburban dad. But the way that guy played that was just super confident that Philip wasn't going to do anything to hurt him. He had this,
the preacher?
Yeah, he was. Okay. He didn't act even a little bit afraid. Like, I get it that, you know, a really good Christian is prepared to die in the cause of faith at all times.
Yeah.
When the rubber hits the road, I think more than a few of them wet their pants when someone comes in with black leather gloves and a head of steam like that. And he just was like, Philip gets in his face, screaming, yelling. He just had that sneer on his face the whole time. There's something to him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hope you're right anyway. I think that'd be interesting. Are they also doing a little bit here to compare the ideologies of religion to the ideologies of these spies? Like that being instilled in Paige is something that they were so resistant of because they viewed it as the same way they were treated when they were young.
Hmm.
Being indoctrinated. They like to get them young. That's exactly what they went through.
Right. But that's something subconscious because they, you know, wouldn't say anything bad about the center.
No, they would never put two and two together there. But I feel it's just ingrained in them to resist that.
Sure.
Because of how they feel about the way they were brought up.
Right. It's like, you know, Jehovah's Witness will sit there with a straight face and tell you all the ways that Scientology is crazy.
Yes. And not apply it to themselves. Realizing
how many of the things they're talking about are exact same thing in their experience.
Sure.
So sure, yeah, I can buy that. And I think that's interesting meta commentary. I also thought it was interesting how like they were so anti-Jesus until they found out that Jesus was protesting American policy.
That her mom
And then they started coming around on it.
Yeah, I also felt like she was unwilling to budge on the summer camp thing because that's where she would really get indoctrinated. But then when Paige comes to him and says, hey, this is something I believe in, and, you know, it's a much smaller thing, and Philip had gone to her before and said, maybe we should let her go, you know, maybe this is not the end of the world. She was kind of looking for something to say yes to get Paige back on their side a little bit. And so this was a much smaller thing for her to say yes to, so she went along with it.
I think that... Yeah, I was somewhat surprised that I didn't see... I thought Philip and Elizabeth would get onto the church thing a little bit more because, you know, one of the ideas that Paige has got to rebel against something.
Sure.
So she's going to rebel against her parents' weird militant atheism in an 80s suburban couple. Also, doesn't that... That's kind of bad for their cover, right? Like, if you're trying to be the all-American family, which it seems like that's their thing, to be outwardly like that.
And you're openly atheist?
Yeah, then maybe you go to church. Maybe you go to church. Maybe go non-denominational or something, but, like, you need that fig leaf, right?
I would think so. I would think that would help, yeah.
So,
I don't know. What did you think about the storyline with Henry? I thought that was kind of a go-nowhere storyline with him breaking into the neighbor's house to play video games. There was a lot of stuff with computers on the rise in this season, but
yeah,
that didn't really go anywhere.
I thought it was interesting because they are... I thought they were trying to go with the two aspects of their parents' double life inhabited into different parts of their children.
Okay.
Like, Paige is the one that would consider sneaking around and forging a signature, but ultimately decide against it. But she stands for something, and she's got these firm passions about wanting to change the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Henry will do spycraft. He will observe your patterns. He will find out where you hide your key. He will sneak into your house and extract your valuable video game intelligence.
Oh, man.
But he doesn't give a shit about any cause. He's just wanting to have fun.
What if they refuse to allow Paige to be a second generation illegal, and so they go after Henry, who is depicted as the kid who doesn't know any better?
But that's the thing
in this season, so is the most vulnerable.
Yeah, I know, but I that's what I think is so fascinating is that they neither one are the total package. Paige has got the idealism, but she's too ethical to just wholesale like lie and betray and all that. Where Henry seems to be a little bit more ethically comfortable with bending the rules, but well, he has no particular ideology.
That's the thing. They make it a point to say he's a kid. Like, Paige is smart, and she's becoming an adult. She's starting to learn the world, but Henry's just a kid.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be interesting if they said, okay, well, you're not going to give up Paige. We'll take Henry from you.
So, but if they do give up Paige, one thing that I'm... spying in this particular show is really fucked up. And I don't have any real desire to see a child be endangered, to have a child have to be sexual, to have a child have to do any of the things that...
I don't think you can use a child in spycraft that way, right?
I think you absolutely can. And, you know...
I guess, what kind of creeps are you going after, though? Jesus Christ.
I don't know. In season one, there's that weird plot where they almost got molested, and then there's the handsy preacher, and I don't like where this is going particularly.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
And I don't think there's anything off limits when it comes to entertainment and art, but there's a lot of things you have to be a hell of a lot more careful than when you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. And stuff that I will definitely cringe at.
What do you think? One of my favorite parts about this show and about the spycraft in general is the idea that everyone is different. And you have to be such a huge range of disciplines to be a spy. You have to know... you know, hand to hand, you have to be a marksman, you have to be an escape artist, you have to be, think on your feet, you have to be a psychologist because you got to figure out what motivates your people.
But you also have to be, you have to buy into the idea, right? You can't,
and you also have to be
such a psychologist that you talk your way out of it.
Right. You have to be somewhat susceptible to brainwashing too, to be that fervent of a supporter of any particular cause.
Uh huh.
And I thought that was that's super cool, and I like seeing that going forward. One thing I'm worried about is Phillips using Annalise to seduce, what was his name? Yusuf?
I think it's Yusuf, yeah.
I thought she was batshit crazy in season one. She certainly is not cut out to be this kind of field agent in season two.
No.
But she's continuing to do it, I suppose. That is going to blow up in Phillips. I'm trying to think all the different ways that things are going to blow up in Phillips and Elizabeth's face.
Sure.
Because the nature of these shows is everything gets bigger and the stakes get higher, and they've skated kind of so far without any significant loss. I kind of wish I'd watched this real time, because I would have been in much bigger fear of Philip and Elizabeth's life. I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that they kill one or the other. Like, that's one of the things I always respect Boardwalk for, because they killed off Jimmy.
Sure, a main character in the show.
The one that they were setting up to be kind of like the foil for the main character.
And honestly, the one that I liked the most, and I thought seasons three and four were worse than seasons one and two, so maybe that was a bad idea, but...
Yeah, but at least something, to me. And that's kind of a reason that I shows that I feel like might go that level might write off a major character, might kill off a Stan, might kill off of an Elizabeth or a Paige. That separates, and Breaking Bad was that way too. Like, I knew, you know, the main two characters probably wouldn't die, but everybody else is pretty much fair game.
I feel like Stan might have the most impenetrable shield here.
Really?
Who do you replace him with on the American side right now?
John Boy. Gad steps up. He's right already now, interesting.
Really? You're more interested in him? See, I'm not. I'm still more invested in Stan, especially now that he has not turned traitor for his country. He stood up for his principles. Did what he thought was right.
So we're going to be, I'm already rolling my eyes at thinking of watching thick-ass Stan trying to unravel the Nina web and figure out what really happened to her, and, oh, I got screwed, and then he'll be an avenging angel and all this other stuff. I don't know.
So he's going to go to Russia and save, he's going to become a spy in Russia, and we'll have the Russian spies here, the spies over there. that could be a nightmare.
That would be interesting, because that's, a lot of the plots in the Tom Clancy movies the Tom Clancy books revolved around an American couple living illegally in the Soviet Union and doing high level spy shit and being exactly Philip and Elizabeth, only they were the Russians instead of the Americans.
That could be an interesting path for this show to take as well. You know, show one side, show the other in both locations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, life is not simple over here for a spy. Life is not simple over there for a spy.
Right.
Compare and contrast. The other thing I want to talk about a little bit is kind of the main plot of season two, which revolved around stealth technology and the Russians trying to take it from the Americans, and a lot of intrigue along the way. But specifically, I wanted to ask you, so that storyline is not resolved.
No.
Do you think that that is going to be a big factor in season three? And if so, how big?
Well, they have to have some MacGuffin, right?
Sure.
And they didn't go anywhere with the stealth.
They got one piece of the puzzle.
And I'm trying to think, because the first season is kind of, you know, the Star Wars SDI stuff.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So since they still have the stealth thing outstanding, they're probably just going to go back to that well, because I'm not sure.
I think so.
But they've also had little mini quests, like the propeller technology that they stole.
Side
quests.
Yeah, I like that. That was all kind of in service of the bigger, you know, stealth plot.
Another thing is I've heard, I'm not going to talk about it because there are spoilers, but I tried to glaze my eyes over as soon as I saw it, but I heard that there are some historical events similar to the Ronald Reagan attempted execution that are going to consume a lot of plot points in this season. Or at least that's my expectation.
Okay, I can see that.
What's it got to talk about? Because we actually have a lot of feedback to consider.
All right. I guess we can go ahead and move on to that. I didn't have too much more to talk about.
Well, I mean, so. I'm not. Don't want to rush you. Don't want to get your Russian, Jim.
Oh God. Oh God. I'm defecting. So with that propeller thing that you mentioned, I kind of like that because it makes you question whether or not the intelligence they're going to get on this stealth stuff is even going to work.
Well,
you know?
Also, I don't know, like, that we got...
The,
the real story behind that prop either.
You might be right. Maybe because that is not what happened, because the science and tech guy seems to cast doubt on it, right?
Yeah, he's like...
They put it on a ship two sizes too big, and...
And they ran it way too fast, and it was supposed to test 6 months, and they did it in 3 weeks, and it's like, are the props really...
That's a fair question.
They're feeding their people to get them all whipped up? Because, boy, it sure did piss off Philip and Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. No, that is a fair question. So, I don't know. I felt like... You know, that was there to make us question whether this stealth stuff is also going to work.
Sure.
And they make a point of saying, you know, we got to get the angles just right. We need this echo software. Could the scientist who's been dragged against his will into Russia now give them false plans, give them bad information?
Because he sure as shit isn't happy about being over there, even though he's doing the work, because I guess it's, you know, if you're stuck in hell, you might as well do a crossword puzzle is his take on it. Mm-hmm. And enjoy the warm bodies that they put in your bed. He's a complex thing. And that's another reason for why I think they're going to stay at the stealth, because they've invested so much into getting him. And like all the side quests kind of built up to the stealth technology, infiltrating the ARPANET, or is DARPA?
It's ARPANET, but it's ARPA, also okay. DARPA.
DARPA, ARPA, DHARMA. Yeah, it's all about tattooing shark tails is what it's all about.
Polar bears on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Good to go.
Yeah, it makes sense to somebody in Moscow. Fuck, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, then we're ready for feedback, yeah?
Okay, yeah. If you want to give us more feedback, you can send it to the americans@baldmove.com, or you can get on our forums at forums.baldmove.com. We got a whole American forum where you can discuss spoiler and non-spoiler stuff. You can go on facebook.com/baldmove or tweet at Jim @baldmove. A couple of thoughts that we got from all those different sources I've cobbled together. Elisa... You wanted to know if I can start watching with this season or I'll miss out. Some shows I sometimes advocate just jumping in and you'll do fine. I think, you know, Justified is a perfect example of that show.
Okay.
You might miss some subtext, but there's so much archetypes and it's so much emphasis on action and coolness that I think it's more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
This show is not one of those shows.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think you will miss so much context and so much stuff has gone on between the main characters and their unique lives as a couple. And you'll ask so many questions about, I mean, my God, Philip's secret family is like, you imagine if you just sit down and you just like, well, here's Martha. And why does she accept that? And why is she still? I mean, there's so much stuff you just don't know.
Yeah. They did a pretty good job of kind of explaining what happened with Nina and Stan in season 2. So, I mean, maybe if they try to do a little bit better job on kind of rounding out those plots a little bit more in season 3.
And if you have a person, you might be able to. Like, you know, if you're in a rare situation that you've got a friend that could kind of Sherpa you through it, the way you can watch it with them. I find it sometimes easier to jump into that, where if you've got someone that you can actually say, what the hell's going on? And they can give you like a 30-second explanation, then you move on. But
now, that guy used to be a spy, but then he was turned by a spy who made him a spy for the other spies.
Right.
And this kid is a spy who killed his spy parents.
Yeah, it gets complicated. It gets complicated. Dave McBee said, I think The Americans is a very good show, but I think this will be the season that defines whether this will become a great one. Paige is becoming increasingly annoying as the season has moved along, but not quite Dana Brody levels of annoying, but not too far behind. Mm-hmm. Having her learn the truth might not be the best idea early in the season. I think Stan needs to get closer to finding out about the Jennings, and if this comes from Paige, then I'm all for it. I don't agree on Dave's take about Paige. I didn't find her annoying at all. I found her a realistic teenager that was a great foil for her parents.
You know, I'm glad they took a couple of episodes in the middle of the season and did nothing with her. Because I was starting to get tired of her, not annoyed with her, but just tired of her plot line getting in the way of kind of the main cool spies plot line.
Yeah.
I'm really glad they took a couple episodes off. And then when they came back, I was refreshed and ready to go again with her.
D says, I hope Philip and Elizabeth bring Paige into the fold. The girl needs a cause. Other than that, I have no opinion. I just love everything to do in the show and I'm ready to roll with it. You know, I expressed concern about Paige being a spy kid and what all that might entail and what that would mean and what that would mean to her relationship with Danny. What's their youngest kid? Henry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of with Dave McBee, and I think it'd be interesting if she ends up being a double agent for Stan or something along those lines.
Okay.
Or if or if they go down the Jesus route where she's actually flees to that to get away from her parents, and that ends up winds up what's co-opting her. I think that's interesting as well, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that be super interesting? Her parents say, yes, let's make her a spy. She rebels against that and ends up becoming a spy anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
And because the church guy's indoctrinating her into it.
I like the kind of Chinese finger trap nature of that, too.
Yeah.
That you are a cog in the machine, and no matter which way you turn, you're going to advance the cause.
Sure.
Brian J. said, we know from Elizabeth I that thoughts of defecting or in some way betraying the USSR do not sit as easily with Elizabeth as they do with Philip, and in fact drove a wedge between them. But I can't see that being pressurized into making Paige and Henry second-generation spies that will sit well with either of them. To that end, do you think that we may start to see Elizabeth getting on board defection, or will Philip have to move back into the Bates Motel? Where is the end game in this show? Is the end game that they both die? Is the end game Glasnost? Do we stick with this until like tensions, you know, they start doing, they get Gorbachev in there and they start opening up, and there's the Trust But Verify and Strategic Arms Act and tear down this wall? And
I don't know if they can get that far in what I hope to only be like a 5-season show.
Yeah, it feels 5 seasons to me, although I'll know a lot more after this season.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a lot
of ground to cover.
Yeah.
In that few of seasons.
Is the end game them dying? Is the end game
I don't think so.
Them being a happy spy family? Is the end game them defecting?
I think it's probably going to be them defecting.
To the United States.
That's my guess right now.
With both parents alive.
Because now I don't know. That's the way Philip was leaning in season one. I feel like if they came back around to it, it would be okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I...
That would be the happy American ending. How about that?
Yeah, and I don't know that fits in well with the show, because so far, no one gets a happy anything.
You're right. You're right.
Like, just when Elizabeth and Philip were starting to click, you know, we had the ill-advised reenacting of the Martha sexual animal fantasy that traumatized Elizabeth. And then there was now they've got the conflict between what to do with Paige. So it's like,
he's a beast in bed. What are you going to do, man?
Beast mode activated. I don't know. I don't know. Let's move on to Bean OD from Wisconsin. He says, I can't wait for this to come back. And you guys, podcasting is icing on the cake. My hope for the season is that Philip protects Paige and maybe convinces Elizabeth to put their family first instead of the country. I would like to see a struggle between them and within themselves, which is more important, the family and their children or their duty to their country. I think it will be so fascinating watching them wrestle with that question this season. Are you in the moral struggle in these characters?
I'm pretty interested in that.
Okay.
I'm really, really enjoying the spycraft stuff. I think there's a lot of awesome stuff throughout the series, but more than that, it's got to be a struggle of characters, and I think this is a fine way to do it.
Right.
So I like kind of the stuff they're doing with Stan for a couple of reasons, and I want to talk about this earlier, but I didn't get to it. At the end of the season, Stan has lost both his wife and his lover, all for the cause, right?
Sure.
It seems to me like if you're going to portray both sides sympathetically here, which I think the Americans kind of tries to do more often than not, you might have that same situation play out with Paige and her parents. And possibly Henry, too. I mean, they might have to give up more than they want to for the cause.
Yeah, like not ever like getting Paige a video game machine.
Yeah, like the Intellivision. Who the fuck cares about the Intellivision? In 3 years, the Nintendo is about to come out. You'll be fine, kid.
Longer than that. Nintendo's 88 or 87. 85. Seriously?
Yeah, in America. 82. It's already out this time in Japan.
Holy shit. And we're putting up with the 2600s and Intellivisions? For 3 years.
Thank Atari for that, because they fucked the video game world up for a while.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Judd B said, can you guys devote a good segment of the preview podcast to discussing how the hell Philip is balancing all these acts? Husband to Elizabeth, to Paige and Henry, husband to Martha, all different personas and outfits while still running a travel agency. Don't forget best friend to Stan, maybe potentially only friend to Dave. Yeah.
That's the point of season two. They are doing a terrible job juggling this, right? They're constantly ignoring their kids.
He says, how is this possible? None of these things take away from my enjoyment of the show, but I find myself wondering how this man balances this act.
He doesn't.
Don't Paige and Henry wonder where their dad is at night? Doesn't Martha find it strange that her husband is gone more often than he's home? So,
all of the
what amounts. I tell myself in my head canon, and I feel like the show has tried to remind us of this, is that we're in a unique phase of this agent program, and they're asking progressively more and more and more from their agents.
Yeah.
That what happened last season might be a lifetime of accomplishments for your average agent, but because of the stealth technology, because Reagan is trying to bury them under a mountain of debt, and because we're at the literal height of the Cold War, they are like throw caution to the wind, and they are literally burning their assets like so much wood.
You're right. You're right about that.
And it's you're starting to see the strain and the stress where maybe every month or two, your parents have to pull an all-nighter or go out of the country to scope. That's something any kid would understand.
Yeah.
You have to do that every week.
And Paige questions that, right? There's a scene where her mom has to go out in the middle of the night because, according to their story, a bunch of clients like lost a reservation and they need to book them hotels and stuff. Yeah,
and she's like, whatever.
And she calls bullshit on that,
yeah,
which she has the right to do. But they're showing, I think, that yes, that would be a very easy thing for them to do. They could do it from home, from their phones. So the travel agency is actually pretty easy for them to run. They have a lot of people under them just kind of running things for them.
Yeah.
They're pretty hands-off. So they don't really have a day job. Spying is kind of their night/day job, and then their kids are secondary.
Sure.
Certainly.
I also think as far as the Martha situation, this happens not all the time, but with surprising regularity that people have secret families.
Really?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's...
How do you do that?
You get a woman that is with a cover story where you're a businessman and you can only be home on the weekends.
Wow.
And then you tell your other woman that you only can be home on Mondays through Fridays, that you got to travel for your job on the weekend. And you just compartmentalize your lifestyle, and with the right amount of grooming of the women and men and children involved, everyone goes along with it because it's what's normal.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, that's the thing that Philip has always said, like, hey, Martha, this is the man you married. I didn't make it any secret that I was a counterintelligence agent and I got an important job and I'm saving the world and
can't
all this
have
other
kids,
stuff.
All that stuff, yeah.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Martha, because I think they've done a very good job. And man, that's what's so fucked up about this show is like Elizabeth shows up as his older sister and swaps sex stories with her.
Yeah, that's creepy.
And then wants to relive the sex stories. Like, there's just some shit that's wrong about this.
Oh, yeah.
About this show.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you know, you watch it with your kind of your fingers half covering your eyes.
Yeah.
But no, I to me, the kids are explainable that this is an unprecedented wave of activity that they've had to do. And that the Martha is just... hasn't had enough of Philip's shit that she's had to put up with yet, and also that his cover stories works very well.
Also, she's kind of swooning over this guy, right? Like,
oh yeah,
they've made it a point to say, oh well, she's not a very attractive woman, guys aren't really after her,
which is funny.
So when Clark comes in,
she's not a double bag 10 shots of scotch woman. Like,
she's not.
Only in fucking Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Can I take you to Walmart sometime? Can I take you to Walmart sometime in Eastgate, Ohio? And show you some real 10 shots of scotch double bag specimens.
Yeah, she's not. And now I forget where I was going with that. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I, you know, it's kind of like Stan in a way. Mm. No, I mean, Stan himself is unsatisfied in his marriage, so he's going off with Nina.
But
well, she's kind of gullible in the same ways.
What do you think about Martha knowing that he's wearing a wig? Like,
Well, she thinks that's, you know, he's vain or something.
Yeah, but when you're married, like, that's the kind of thing, like, I want to see what you really look like. And what,
How
is Philip going to hot foot is, well, this is the way I am, Martha. Like, get the fuck out of here with that shit. I thought
Philip's always so cool, though.
I mean,
he never cracks, right?
Plus, he does a lot of, like, classic abuser techniques with Martha. He gaslights the shit out of her.
Yep.
He puts her down and undermines her confidence and then builds her back up when it's okay. Like, that's really uncomfortable to watch him do this to a human being.
Sure.
It's just really, that adds another level of ickiness to it all.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of how they roll with everybody. I mean, you got to know when to baby talk. You got to know when to smack them in the face. You got to know when to be tough, when to threaten, when to cajole. That's part of the show's charm, but it's also a part of the show's ick factor.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Tom G., our friend from Volkswagen. I hope the timeline makes it to 1984 so that Philip and Elizabeth get to the point of the release of Red Dawn. Henry will love it. Elizabeth will have an aneurysm. Go Wolverines.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Because the Trekkie inside of me, the Trekker, had a real thrill when Henry was talking about The Wrath of Khan. Like, oh, the first one sucked, but, you know.
Is that what he was talking about?
Yeah, it's like, but Star Trek's got Khan, and he was in that television show, so it might be all right. And I'm like, yeah, kid, wait until you see. If you can make it through the earworm,
you will
feast on the finest Trek of all time. I loved it, and I hope we get to the Red Dawn Wolverines, too.
Sure, that'd be cool.
Pavlov from Brooklyn.
I hope we get to Tetris. Oh, I hope we get to Tetris.
Well, our theme song gets there. Pavlov from Brooklyn said, I would like to get more insight into Philip and why he's still loyal to the cause. I don't know if he will ever get, we'll ever get a ton of backstory on Elizabeth and Philip, but I understand Elizabeth's devout ideology more than Philip's, given how conflicted he has been since the beginning of the show.
Well, Philip struck me as loyal to Elizabeth. I mean, yes, he's mostly loyal to his country. He has, you know, brushes with defecting. But
did he get started? I mean, we know.
But he loves Elizabeth. He really does.
Yeah. We know a little bit about his backstory. We found some more in season two about him having to, you know, run for bread or soup and getting beat up by bullies and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how that makes you a real big fan of the Soviet Union, but whatever.
But that's the thing I also thought,
did you think it was sly social commentary that the Kate sent a signal of distress to her agents with an empty roll of toilet paper when one of the big stereotypes of the Soviet Union is like Russians wait standing in line to get their allotment of toilet paper?
I didn't think lines wrapping around
blocks to get the toilet paper before it's gone.
Huh. No, I didn't pick up on it, but sure.
I forget where I was at. Oh, I think they've set up a conflict between Philip and Elizabeth. I'm continuing here with Pavlov. Between Philip and Elizabeth over Paige really well. I just hope that it doesn't lead too much of a divide between P and E, which I don't think it will. They already did that in season one. I also hope that they are still able to bring Claudia back at some point. Apparently, they work far out from production, about 6 months, so Margot Martindale's show wasn't canceled until they were well into writing season three, but they expressed a desire to bring her back into the story. I'm very curious to see what they do with Nina, and I'm super excited to see what Stan's subconscious does with the knowledge of Martha stealing files. We talked about that in the dream sequence of Stan. If you look, he clearly observes Martha taking files and sticking them in her purse and smiling right to his face doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Martha's Chekhov's gun has to go off at some point. Excellent point. She's got a pistol.
She does, in that drawer.
Stan's not a fan. Or I'm not sorry, not Stan. Clark's not a fan.
Why isn't Clark a fan? What is Philip afraid of here with the gun?
You know, I think any spy master is afraid that their spy is going to do something stupid to kill themselves or get in trouble and burn their effectiveness. And
they'll get caught.
Yeah.
By proxy there.
Like, he wants to have absolute power in this relationship. That gun is a threat to that power. He doesn't want her to lose her security clearance. So if she gets caught in some kind of minor gun thing, or if she, because he sees this as an irrational fear that she's afraid of some serial killer, which he knows is bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Then she could just go off and get herself killed with this gun, and then he loses this asset that he spent a lot of time and effort developing. So I guess that's where I'm going with that.
Sure.
But I don't see a future for Nina in this show, but I also don't think that they are going to throw that very memorable character away.
I'd be okay if they did, honestly.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss her. Yep. I really do like Arkady and Oleg. I think they're very cool.
They were both so adversarial at the beginning. I was like, well, man, are they setting this up to really just be him against this guy?
They're really saying Oleg is this guy with the silver spoon born in his mouth, which is all true, but he's also fucking competent.
Yes, very much so.
Dan was following him, I thought like, well, you dumbass, you're going to blow this whole operation and it's going to be your daddy getting your ass. But he fucking single-handedly turned Stan.
Yeah.
And then they used that kernel of the truth about, you know, him being against Arcady and the stuff that she'd been feeding him to just...
Yeah.
Again, it didn't work, so whatever, but... Great.
But it almost worked.
It almost worked. And they did get him to give up some state secrets. I think his hands are dirty enough that they can maybe use that as leverage to still get to him somehow.
Yeah, it is, I imagine, very difficult to turn a spy to the other side. It seems like they just have so much to lose by doing that.
See, I don't think so. Once you turn a spy, I think it would be super easy to turn them again. But then the problem is...
Yeah, but they never turned Stan and then turned him again, or tried to turn him again.
No, you're right.
Yeah, that initial turn, like but turning I'm saying, a spy like, Nina, would
turning
be
a
tough.
Spy and then turning her back is pretty, because they
that
got...
That wouldn't be too hard, yeah.
You know, but then it's just like, then it seems like your fear is that they're going to be a turnstile.
No, so, I'm talking about Stan.
Okay, sure.
Like, that seems really hard to do, and the fact that they came so close...
Yeah.
I mean, he was ready to give it up.
Just about...
Why did he stop?
What was it? Just a hero thing? What, if Henry didn't do that dopey report,
I feel
on
like
him.
It has something to do with his wife. But I didn't get it, because right around that time, you know, his wife was off with that other man on a ski trip or whatever, and
she
had just come back.
He was a man getting emotionally pummeled.
Oh yes, absolutely.
He was kind of in trouble at work. He was also clandestinely in trouble at work.
But I don't know why that reinforces his love for his country there. I don't know why.
I just don't think he could. I don't know, man. I just don't think he could do it. Like that whole...
Like, this is all he has left? Is that what he's thinking?
Yeah. Like, I think it could have been as small as Henry didn't do the dopey report, if his wife had stayed with him, if the fact that losing everything at once is just incredibly hard to deal with and process and still function as a human being. But yeah, I mean, who is he if he goes and give these secrets to the enemy?
Yeah, if anybody has any ideas on why exactly Stan's wife is factored into this whole him not giving up his country stuff, let me know, because I'm super curious and I just didn't get
it. Well, one other theory I'll throw into the ring is that she could be the symbol of everything that he's lost. You know, relationship with his son, relationship with his wife, all these personal costs he's done, not just on this one, but the time before where he's with the neo-Nazis, all these parts of his humanity, like Russ Cole style, he's given away. And if he betrays his country, it's for nothing.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing he can stand on. It's like, well, at least I did my part to whatever.
Might be right about that. Might be right.
All right, man.
No other emails?
That's it. We look forward to hearing more from you people, from you personally. Please send email to americans@baldmove.com. Go to forums.baldmove.com. Check out facebook.com/baldmove. Tweet at baldmove. Pretty excited. We'll be back. Americans airs Wednesday. We will have the podcast out on Fridays. Till then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim. See ya.
Bye.